Probably before many of you come for this particular service, the worship team will gather in the front here, and they'll pray for each other. They'll pray for the service, but this time they also prayed for me. And one of our members just had a sense, and I believe an accurate sense, that there needs to be a new fire in me. Amen. And I'm going to admit that. I'm going to say yes. I believe. Listen, whatever God has, I want. And sometimes we become a little bit proudful, don't we? We begin to think that, oh well, I don't want anyone to know. But listen, I don't care who knows. I want whatever God wants for me. Amen. And I believe that God wants not only for me, but I believe He wants for each and every one of you to be fired up by His Holy Spirit. And I don't mean in just some kind of emotional, ecstatic kind of thing, but really learning how to move and have your being in Him. That He would move powerfully in your lives, and it would be a demonstration of His Holy Spirit in you. Not just simply your ability, not just simply your talents, not just simply those things that come naturally, but those things that are supernatural. Amen? And I know that we live in an age, you know, I've been thinking about this and studying this and wondering, why is it that in third world nations the spiritual realm is so much more real? The demonstration of not only demonic spirits, but the demonstration of the Holy Spirit is so powerful in third world nations. And I came across some reading, and it made a little bit of sense to me. And basically, when we look at our culture, we look at the Western society, we are knowledge-based. Everything depends upon knowledge. Or we don't call it knowledge, we call it science. So science says that if you can feel it, or if you can't feel it, you can't see it, you know, you can't measure it, then it doesn't exist. And so science eliminates the whole realm of the spiritual realm. Science eliminates anything that can be spiritual. And so since we've become a nation that has embraced science to the nth degree, we have denied the experience of the supernatural. Whereas when you go to India, and I'll be going to India in October, when you go to India and when you get outside of the major cities into the villages, what you find is that people are more spiritual. They are more grounded to the spirit realm. They have an appreciation for good spirits and bad spirits. And certainly with the Christians that I work with in India, they see God moving in powerful ways all of the time. Why? Because they haven't been caught up by that Greek philosophy, the Greek understanding that the Bible talks about, and that is love for knowledge. If we're going to walk in the spirit realm, I know this is going to sound harsh, but we need to put some of that scientific thinking out of our minds. We need to recognize that science truly can only measure and those things that can be measured. God cannot be measured. His Holy Spirit cannot be measured. And so when it comes to science will always say there is no God. Science will always say that there is no such thing as a spiritual realm. But I hope you'll agree with me that we know better. Amen. We, and the only way you can know better is not just simply by reading a book, but by experiencing His love, His grace, His forgiveness, the hope that He puts in us. That's how we know, because we are spiritual beings. Amen? And so if we hope to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this world today, then you and I, we have to become vessels of the Holy Spirit. We need to be His hands, His feet, so to speak, so that He may be made, and this is the word I want to stress today, that He might be made manifest. And that word manifest simply means that which is invisible becomes visible. Amen. That which isn't seen is seen. And so when we talk about the manifest presence of God, what we're talking about is the ability of God to make His presence known even in the physical realm. But see, you and I, we have to we have to abandon our old traditions. Remember last week we taught on Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, how he was speaking about traditions of the church in terms of how women were to dress and how women were to be addressed and whether women should wear hats or have head coverings, whether women should be on one side of the church or the other side. And basically what Paul was saying there was that, hey, this is our tradition as Christians who were once Jews. We brought some of that tradition into the church, and this is how we do things. This is our culture. But at the end of that section, he said, but listen, I don't have a problem with if you want to do something different. And so we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the culture of the church. And there is a culture in the church that says that the power of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the outworking of the Holy Spirit, they all passed away back in the apostolic times. Listen, that is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a lie that the devil wants to perpetuate because it falls within the realm of scientific thinking. You know, I can't see it, can't feel it, can't touch it, I can't measure it, I can't bring my spiritometer, you know, and measure the spirit, you know, that's in the room. So therefore he can't be. But he is, because he manifests himself. He shows himself in ways that can't be explained any other way. Now, some people will say, well, that's just a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Matter of fact, I want to just take a moment right now. There's a woman who's in a dire situation that I happen to know, who's asked for prayer. And his name is Sharon Clark. Her name is Sharon Clark. She's a pastor's wife. She used to be, Sharon and Jerry Clark used to pastor a church in the area, Cornerstone Church, the very song that we sang, a couple of sessions ago. And she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And how many people know that when you're diagnosed with something like a brain tumor, there is an emotion that comes about, and that first instinct, that first emotion, often is fear. But listen, we don't have to. That doesn't have to be our first emotion. Our first emotion should be Jesus. Jesus. Now, see, if you're a science person, if your thinking is always in terms of science, you're going to run to the doctor. And I suggest you do that. You know, I'm not one to say, well, you don't go to the doctor because that would be a lack of faith. No, if you don't go to the doctor, that's simply foolishness. God has provided doctors. God has provided knowledge. God has provided things for our edification and our even for our health. But the point is that our reliance has to be on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the working of His Holy Spirit. We are spirit beings, and so when we cry out, our cry should be, Lord, You are the Creator of the universe. In a word, You can change the circumstances in that person's life. In a word, come on, let's make it personal. You can change the circumstances in my life. You can open doors and You can close doors. And my position, our position as believers in Jesus Christ has to be a position of faith. I believe. But Pastor, what if my mind tells me that it's not? I believe. And so therefore, I walk, I do, I speak, I act as if I truly believe what I believe. So let's pray for Sharon right now. She just got this diagnosis within the last 5 or 6 days. Some of you know her, and you recognize that she needs a miracle. The last word I heard was, you know, it was cancerous. It might have spread to more than one place in the brain. Come on, isn't that terrifying? Isn't that terrifying? Hey, Jesus is bigger than cancer. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's take a moment to pray. You may not know her, but let's just agree in prayer that He is able and that He is willing. He is willing and able. Heavenly Father, right now we just lift up Sharon to You. And Lord, you know the situation, you know the circumstance. To our minds, it doesn't make any sense. She's a godly woman. She's a woman that you've used mightily in many areas of ministry. And yet, we live in a fallen world. But Lord, we may live in a fallen world, but we serve a risen God. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you. And I Holy Spirit, right now, that you would heal her brain. Lord, that you would cause those tumors to shrink to nothing and disappear. And Lord, the doctors would look at the MRIs and the scans, Lord, and they would look at before and they would see after, nothing there. So Lord, we put our trust in you, that you are able. You are able. You are willing. Lord, if we would just pray. And so Lord, we pray right now. We pray right now. Lord, that even at this very moment, you're just causing those tumors to shrink to nothing. And Lord, that everyone would say, yes, this was not because of what the doctors said, but this is because of what our God says, that there is healing for today. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, we need a little fire in our lives. Amen. Can you do that? Can you get a little bit excited for Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, and it's easy to have a little bit of fire when you're in a place where there's a fire going on. But you are a fire starter. Amen. Your job is to go out into the world and go out into your families and go out into your communities and allow people to see Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit working in you, that they would see the manifest presence of the invisible. Listen, God may be invisible, but He is manifest in our lives. You are a living example of that manifestation. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Okay, yes, 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 absolutely. Vera's sister-in-law. Come on, who we're going to pray for Vera's sister-in-law. We're going to keep these by name, amen, so we're not going to do a general prayer. We're going to be like the surgeons. We're going to be precise, amen. Yes, do you have someone you want to pray for?
Precise.
Yeah, who else has a dire situation? Norman, yeah.
My daughter is weary.
Okay, weary. Carl, can you remember that? You know, we're going to have you pray. Yeah, yes. Bell palsy, okay. A friend that's got Bell's. Okay, amen. And what's her first name? Kathy. Hey, Kathy. Okay, yes. Bucky, go ahead. His foot. Yes, Lord Jesus. Okay. All right, Bucky, you're gonna pray for him. All right. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Sharon. Yeah. Okay, total healing, amen. Sharon, so you're gonna, yeah. Eileen. Oh, you do, amen. All right, we're gonna pray for you as well. Yes, yes, June. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. Yes, Nancy. Yeah. Boy, this is a busy week. Randy, yeah, amen. Come on, for those that either have a prayer need for themselves or for someone else, I want you to stand up because I don't want to, you know, sometimes we start praying and we forget, you know, we'll miss someone. Amen, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus, come on up here, Carl, come on. This is what church is about. This is what church, I'm going to pray for Vera's, sister-in-law, that would be your sister, Steve, or
no? His brother's
wife. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Diane. Let's begin to pray. Lord Jesus, right now, come on, we'll lift him up one at a time. We're going to think about Diane. We're going to put Diane before our eyes that she would be just totally healed, Lord. You know, you said the doctors have given up. Listen, God, Holy Spirit, you never give up. Ever give up. You never give up. And so, Lord, we just lift up Diane to you, Lord, and we look for a miracle there, Lord. And we look for the testimony, Lord, that will come out of this as we pray for Diane. Yes, Lord Jesus. Carl, you're going to pray for Carl. Yeah.
No. Lord, we just lift up Natalie right now, Lord God. And she's growing weary. Your word says that not to grow weary in well-doing, Lord God. But sometimes the world just oppresses us and we fall short, Lord God. I pray right now in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will rise up in her, Lord God, that spirit of weariness will be pushed out of the way, that the Holy Spirit will just rise up in her and she will be strengthened and encouraged, Lord God, that she will continue the race, Lord, walking hand in hand with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, let's give Jackie an opportunity. Yeah. Pray for, what's her name?
Kathy.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just pray for her.
Go ahead. You want me to do it?
Well, pray. Yeah, why don't you pray?
Father, we just lift up Kathy to you, and Lord, we just pray for complete healing, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, that we can lift her up. And Lord, your word says that when we pray according to your word and your will, that it shall be done in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You have pain? Lord Jesus, right now, we just, a little special prayer here for me, amen. Lord Jesus, just ask for just a relief and a release of the pain, Lord, in the back of her neck and in her head as she goes through this process of recovering from this concussion. But Lord, we don't want it to take weeks and months further, Lord. Do it today. Do it today, Lord. Just total healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to give everyone a chance. Listen, we pray for Randy here. Randy, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for a good result, Lord. A good result. We just ask you to just touch him and heal him, Lord God. Lord, again, that the doctors would be amazed and confounded. We love to do that to doctors, Lord. That's what your word says, that you love to confound the wise. And so, Lord, we just ask for total healing in Randy's body. Total healing in Randy's body. Who did you, did you need?
Peyton.
Peyton, Lord. Okay,
yes,
Lord, we just
lift.
Oh, and a liver transplant for the baby. Yes.
One
and a half year old. And that's Peyton?
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we just speak health and healing into Peyton. And Lord, he may be looking for a donor, but you've got everything under control. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch this baby's life for the glory of God, that he would become a mighty young man in the name of Jesus. Just see it being done. Hallelujah. And Eileen, we just pray for Eileen. We just ask you to just touch her as she goes in for this test. Lord, that you would give her a good result. You have been faithful to her all this time. And Lord, we expect you to be faithful to continue, because that's all you know how to do. We may be unfaithful, but you are never unfaithful. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Oh, yes, Lord God. Right now, we just pray for June. Lord, you know her situation. We just speak to her heart, and we just say, be healed. Be healed. Healed in Jesus' name. You know, you have the ability. You created her, Lord God. Just give her a new physical heart, Lord. A new heart. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. And Sharon, Lord, we just lift up Sharon and Bill and Debbie, right? For Debbie, Lord God, you would just touch her ankle. Lord, that you would just do a recreative miracle. That, Lord, you would heal the bones so rapidly that even the doctors would be amazed, Lord. And that not only that, but you would heal them properly.
Yes.
Lord, properly.
Yes.
So she would regain her strength. She would regain her gait. And she would just regain her full movement of that foot in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, Bucky, you're going to pray for... Oh, George Reyes' foot. Here you go.
Thank you, Father God. We just lift up your great servant, George, to you, Lord. We thank you so much for him. And we thank you in advance for a healing of his foot, Father God, right now, wherever he is, Lord. We give you thanks in your mighty name, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I did pray for June. I prayed for June, too. Okay. You missed it.
For a co-worker's daughter, she has Crohn's disease, and she's going to the doctors on Tuesday.
Amen. Hallelujah. What's her first name?
Kira.
Kira, Lord God, we just lift up Kira. And Lord, many of us in the room, we don't know Kira, but you know her, and you know her by name. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just heal her body. You would heal her digestive tract, Lord. That Crohn's disease is such an afflicting disease. And Lord, we just ask that you would just give her total restoration of her intestines. Lord, total healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Nicole, you got someone to pray for? Amen. Pray for you.
Just this pain and discomfort I've been having that I don't know what's going on. Just that it goes away.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we just lift up Nicole to you, Lord. I ask you to just touch her body, Lord. You know everything about her. And Lord, we know that your love for her is going to bring her to a place of total healing in you. And so, Lord, as you draw her closer to you and you come closer to her, Lord, that healing is going to take place. And so, Lord, we just ask you to touch her and touch her now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, just we have two more here we want to pray for. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes.
Carolyn, I'm going in for a biopsy.
Okay, Carolyn. Carolyn's going in for a biopsy, Lord, and we know that is a fearful situation, Lord, but we know that you are a great God, and we just ask that you would just touch her, you would heal her, Lord, and that you would just, even as they, first of all, if they wind up taking the biopsy, that it would be benign, Lord God. But secondly, Lord, that as they do the pre-op, Lord, or they do the procedure, the pre-procedure, Lord, they would discover there would be no need for it. And so, Lord, heal her now in Jesus' name. We ask this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Karen, did you need prayer? Terminal lung cancer, childhood friend. What's her name?
Cindy.
Lord Jesus, we just lift up Cindy to you and just ask you to touch her. Touch her, Lord. Touch her. Do a miracle in her life. Lord, a miracle. We ask for a miracle for Cindy. Lord, just touch her right now and that she would know that it is you that's touching her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is what church is supposed to be about. Church is not simply about studying the word, but it is about demonstrating the work of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is good at and is proficient at is to heal. And as the body of Christ, as we come together, we begin to pray for one another. We encourage one another. We're bold enough to stand up and say, hey, I need prayer. You know, then God will move on our behalf. Amen. And that is the spiritual nature of God. That is how he makes himself manifest. The Apostle Paul says that, you know, it's not by words, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives are changed. We want to use words. Why? Because we are a science or a knowledge-based culture. We need to move in the Holy Spirit, amen? We need to move in desiring to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You're the ones. You're the ones. I've got a quick slideshow that I want to show you, and it's a little bit of a test. But before we do that, let me just take care of a couple things because I want to do something special at the very end. And number one, I want to make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the bulletin. We've got a number of things starting. We've got something new that's not in the bulletin yet is that we'll be sending a mission team to the Dominican Republic in January. So you'll see information about that if you're interested in going in January. I think January is a great month to go to the Caribbean to do ministry. I've often prayed that God would send me to Hawaii to reach the unlost, but that hasn't happened yet. I keep getting sent to India and Pakistan and places like that. But also, we're going to have a baptism next week, so if you haven't been baptized, we encourage you to do that. Nick, did you want to share something this morning? Nick and Gabby have become involved with our youth ministry, and so they have a great vision and a great plan for our youth. And so let me just give Nick an opportunity to share.
Thank you. We have a special event coming up in 2 weeks, September 18th. It's a Friday night. So if you're in sixth grade through college, or if you know someone who's in sixth grade through college, have them come out. We're going to join the youth ministry and the college ministry and have a bonfire night here at the church. So 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, all you can eat marshmallows, and we're going to do some worship around the fire and just have a good time of fellowship. So, also, the youth ministry meets for ages or grades 6 through 12 every Friday night from 7 to 9. So if you know someone who would fit in that bracket, we'd love to see them on Friday nights. Thank you.
Amen. 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 I'm looking forward to seeing a revival with our youth. We see great things happening with our young adults, and I'm believing for even greater things to see in our church. Amen. So we've got a lot of things going on. Boys Club starting up in October, I believe. I'm not sure when Girls Club starts up, but we've got just a lot of things going on. So check your bulletins, please. Amen. And at this time, what I'd like to do is receive our church tithes and offerings. So I'm going to ask the ushers to please come, and we're going to do that. Amen. Amen.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, Don. You know, I know a lot of people know that I had fallen 3 months ago and was in the hospital and anyway, you know, had a concussion and everything. And so anyway, and I just realized today by sitting here that I have been praying wrong for my body because I was told I get these terrible headaches and I get pains in my neck. And I've been told that it's going to last 3 months to a year. And every time I get the headache and every time my head hurts and every time my neck hurts, I've been saying, well, I praise and I thank you, Lord, that it's just a headache and that I'm walking today because I could have been paralyzed. I could be dead because of the way I fell and broke a vertebrae in my neck and a lot of things could have happened. And every time I get the headache, I've been praising God that it's only a headache. Instead of saying, Lord, this headache needs to go in the name of Jesus. I still thank him that I'm not in a wheelchair. I still thank him that I'm alive. I still thank him that he saved me when I fell down those steps. But I need to give him glory that he is going to continually heal me. And I'm walking out my healing and I am healed. And I do thank him, but I'm not going to thank him for the pain anymore. I'm going to thank him for my healing.
Amen. Amen. That makes sense. Don't thank him for the pain. He didn't cause the pain. Amen. He didn't cause the pain, but he will cause the healing if we just stand and believe. You know, the Bible calls us a peculiar people. Well, that means that we don't just simply go along with everything that's in the world. Amen. So let's just believe God today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow. And even in this area, Lord, there's a challenge to believe, especially when we're living from week to week or we're living in very difficult financial times. But Lord, our trust is we put our trust in you. We choose to believe your word. And then we know that as we are faithful to stand and to believe, that you are faithful to reward those who walk by faith and not by sight. And so, Lord, I ask to bless every giver here, and, Lord, that you would make a way for them where even there seems to be no way. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, in the weeks to come, I believe that we're going to see just a greater, the work of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation simply means the appearance of the invisible, okay? That is just one of the definitions. But another word that I want to introduce to you this morning is the whole concept of the word anointing. The anointing is simply the operation of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is made manifest, and you're the vessel that God has chosen to use that the Holy Spirit would be made manifest, then we could properly say that you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so don't let the words manifestation or the word anointing frighten you and make you think that it is only something for someone over here. You know, it's for Bob Countryman, but it's not for me. It's for Dave Hendrickson, but it's not for me. No. Whenever the Holy Spirit is in operation, that is the anointing. And whenever the Holy Spirit produces some kind of effect, that is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Are we clear on that? So as I use these words, I want you to understand what I'm trying to say, because they're important words to understand. Sometimes when we don't understand the word when we're reading, for instance, we gloss over it. We don't notice it. But once we learn the word, all of a sudden it seems to be popping up everywhere. How many people have ever had that experience? You know, all of a sudden that word seems to be everywhere. It was there all the time. It's just that our brain has a capacity to skip over things it doesn't understand. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, which we're going to begin to take a look at, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual things. In other words, what he's saying, I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you to gloss over, but I want you to understand what is available to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so I want you to take a look at the screen for a second. And we're going to take a look at four images, four pictures. And then in your mind, I want you to think about what these four pictures have in common. And then I'm going to ask for your opinion. Are you ready? This is a test. You don't get out of the room until you pass the test. Picture number one, light bulb, pretty simple, right? And looks like it's lit. Okay, there's one picture number one. Image number two, mechanical energy. Very useful, especially this time of the year. Image number three, heat, energy, and iron. Number four, sound energy. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? What do they all have in common? Electricity. You all pass. They all have electricity in common. How many people have ever heard a sound system working? You're listening to it right now. Okay, how many people have ever felt an iron or an oven or something hot produced by electrical energy? Of course, we've all have. Lights, the room is lighted because of electrical energy. But the point is that you can't see the electricity. Amen? So if we look here, it says they all need electricity. That's the answer. Number one, electricity is invisible power. Come on, can you see where I'm going here? It's invisible power. You can't see it, but you know it exists by the effect that it produces. If you attach it to a light bulb, the light bulb lights up. If you attach it to an iron, the iron heats up. If you stick your finger into the socket, you light up. Amen? You know there's something there. Although you can't see it, you can feel the effect of what is being produced. Okay, so, and then finally, electricity needs a conduit. It needs wires and a load. In other words, it needs a way to get from one place to another. And then it also needs something to that actually converts the energy into something manifest. Okay, still with me? The Holy Spirit is power. He is invisible. You can't see him. But you can recognize him by the influence that he produces. You know, we don't use the Holy Spirit to power light bulbs or to heat up irons. But listen, he has other ways of manifesting himself. We know his power by his manifestation. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're gonna really pick it apart, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit shows himself or demonstrates himself, not only to us, but to the world. It's through the gifts. So if you have the gifts, if the gifts are not in operation, what does that mean? It means that there's no way for the Holy Spirit to really manifest himself. You are the conduits that God has chosen that his Holy Spirit, his power would be made manifest through you. This is not my idea. This is God's idea. He chose you. Not a select you, but he chose the body of Christ. He chose each one of you to be a conduit for him that his power might be made visible, if you will, or manifest in the world today. And I'll tell you what, this world needs the manifest presence of God. Because we certainly in this in our culture in the Western society, we've gone far from God, and that's because people. Listen to me. This is my personal opinion, but that's because so many people, in traditional religious settings, have said, "Oh no, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they went away." You know, the expression is the gifts of the Holy Spirit petered out when Peter petered out, the Apostle Peter petered out, but that's not true. As I'll show you in a verse or two, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today and forever. They didn't pass away. They didn't pass away. And he works through us. Amen? Hallelujah. So we have an understanding of what it means to be manifest. We have an understanding of the word anointing as we go forward in this. And now I want to share with you some scriptures. First, let me say this. Do we believe that God is an extravagant God? He is an extravagant God in the sense that you know, you can ask for a penny and he'll give you $100. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean by extravagant. He tends to overdo. And that's his nature. That's his character. God is a giving God. How do I know that? Because of John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen? What did he give? He gave Jesus. He gave Jesus, and through Jesus we have salvation and the abundant life and all of those things. But the point is, God the Father gave, and he gave Jesus. Jesus, being God also, has this extravagant characteristic. So the Father gives Jesus. Jesus gives the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's clear in Scripture. He gives the Holy Spirit. He's a giving God. Now, the Father gives Jesus. Father is extravagant. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is extravagant. What does the Holy Spirit give? He gives gifts. Come on, can you see the pattern there? One God. We serve one God, but we understand him or we see him in three different ways. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Holy Spirit. But the characteristics of the Father is exactly the same as the Son because it's the same God. The characteristics of Jesus is the same as the Holy Spirit because it's the same God. The Holy Spirit is God. You know, it's not Jesus and the Father are God and the Holy Spirit is just some kind of power out there. The Holy Spirit is a person. But he's a person who is able to demonstrate himself or manifest himself through the gifts that he gives through the body of Christ. Come on, are you with me there? Some of you are going a little skeptical there. Come on, listen. This is we're going to show in the Word. Amen. Come on, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's take a look at we're going to look at about seven verses here. It's Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Now again, what we're trying to do today is not just simply fill your head with knowledge. But what we're trying to do today is we're trying to bring in a little bit of knowledge so that we can springboard off into doing. You see, as long as it's just head knowledge, it's good. It's not bad. I'm not against head knowledge. I like knowing things. But the thing is, if it doesn't help me in life, what good is it? Amen. You know, what good is it to have a lot of knowledge about things that has no practical application in life? I need application. I need knowledge that will energize me. I need knowledge that activate me. I need knowledge that will empower me to live the life that I believe God's called me to live. Amen? Hallelujah. Everyone at Ephesians. All right, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, Paul calls this a prayer of realization. In other words, that basically what Paul is saying, I want you to realize something. He's saying this is real stuff. This is not just theology 101, but this is practical, real stuff. And he says this, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're named Christians. That he would grant you, that's you and me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. Come on, that's his desire. That you would be strengthened on the inside. That you would grab a hold of his word. That you would grab a hold of his prompting of the Holy Spirit. That you would be a doer and not just a hearer of his word. You know, we all hear. But God is looking for something deeper. God is looking for not only hearers, but doers. Come on, are you willing to be a doer? Come on, are you willing to be crazy for God? Are you willing to live on the edge? Are you looking for a little excitement in your life? Come on now. You want some excitement in your life, or you want to deal with the same humdrum existence that you've had all of your life? You know, it's like that donut, the donut commercial from years ago. You know, gotta make the donuts. You know, gotta make the donuts. You know, if you don't change something, then nothing changes. Amen? You have to make a decision to change, and the decision to change that I'm talking about is to follow Jesus. Not just simply say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, but to do what Jesus wants you to do. And I'll tell you, you'll be living outside the box. You'll be living in that place that we call adventure. You'll be living in a place that is filled with, I don't want to use the word fear, anticipation. You know, come on now. You know, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when God says, I want you to speak something, or I want you to say something, or I want you to dance, or I want you to sing, or I want you, and listen, there's that, you're on the edge, you're saying, oh, Lord, you know, you can't be talking to me. You must mean when I get home in the privacy of my own home. No, listen. Listen, you say you want to be used by God, God's going to use you. And he's going to use you in the most inconvenient times. But it's exciting. It's life. And life everlasting. Amen? Verse 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, it's by faith. What is faith? Faith is simply believing and doing because you believe. Not because it makes sense. You know, if everything has to make sense, then you're thinking scientifically. But we are called to move in the Spirit. There are things in the Spirit that we can't understand. Remember it says in Isaiah chapter 55, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Are you willing to live on the edge? I hear one yep. Come on, are you willing to live on the edge? Amen. Come on, can I have a show of hands? Are you living the will on the edge? Living the will on the edge. Live on the edge. Amen. You know, we're talking about getting radical for Jesus. Jesus was radical in his day. And he's looking for some radical men and women. Amen. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's something real about it. It's not fullness of the knowledge, but the fullness of him and his Holy Spirit. Here we go, verse 20. You ready? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works here, where? Works in us. So if he's talking about the power working in us, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit working in us. And then it goes on to say, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Does that sound like the Holy Spirit and his power petered out when Peter petered out? No. To all generations. Amen. The power that works in us. You have power. You have authority. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the body that was broken for you. And it's real. It's just that we've grown up in a culture and a society that if we can't touch it, if we can't feel it, it can't be real. Well, any reasonable person would say, well, there are some things I don't understand. But that doesn't mean that I'm exempt from the benefits of not understanding of everything. Because we're called to be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. He's revealed to us through his word everything that we need to know. Now we just need to be bold. We need to get up out of our seats. We need to not be worried about what people will think or what people will say. You know, we need to get out of the box. You know, we need to challenge ourselves to allow his Spirit to burn a fire in us. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And then I'm going to close with this. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come back up, if you would. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says this. As each one has received a gift, and if you read the context of this, he's talking about spiritual gifts. As each one has received a spiritual gift, minister it to one another as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward was something. A steward was a person who was entrusted with something. And as stewards, we are entrusted with the Holy Spirit. We are entrusted to use it wisely, to use it properly, to use it rightly. And then verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which, who supplies? God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says this, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And that word drink into can be translated to be saturated, to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And finally, let me just share one thing, one example with you. Which we find in Acts chapter 3. And let me just paraphrase it for you. You may remember Peter was walking along the streets of Jerusalem, I assume, and he comes across a beggar. The guy's begging, he's crippled. The guy looks at Peter and he sees the potential for something. And the beggar says, you know, please, you know, sir, please give me something. And this is what Peter says. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have.
Amen.
But what I do have in Jesus Christ, I give to you. rise up and walk. Do you remember that story? You know, it's so powerful on so many different levels. You can't give what you don't have. You know, and when you just talk about stuff, you don't have it. It's only when you activate what you're talking about, when you're moving and believing and taking opportunities to demonstrate the Holy Spirit, that you can give it away. You cannot give what you don't have. You can't give what you intellectually what you can, you know, you can transfer knowledge, but I'll tell you what, we live in an age and a time we need more than knowledge. We need the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We need the extravagant giftings of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to look at chapters 11 through 14, what you'll see is that Paul was talking about the church and what's supposed to be happening inside the church before it goes outside.
Yes.
You know, when church becomes predictable, then that's when church begins to fall into tradition.
Correct.
And when church falls into tradition, very often it pushes out the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and Jesus as well. Amen? You know, we need to determine that we're not going to become a church like that. You know, I know this may make some people feel uncomfortable. That's the way it is, you know. But, you know, come on. We need to move to the next step. Amen? We need to move to the next level.
No.
You know, if good works could produce revival, then we should have had revival a long, long time ago. But revival requires a people whose hearts have become quiet to be on fire again. Amen? And so why don't you stand with me now? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, as I look around the church, I see people who have been in the church for many, many years. And I can remember, you know, and some of you can remember with me, you know, some pretty exciting, as well as bizarre times over the last 20, 21 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And some of that was, you know, what Paul would say is, you know, basically carnal. You know, it's of the flesh. But don't dismiss it all. Because in there was a genuine move of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
People were born again. People were healed.
Yes.
People, hallelujah, you know, got so fired up, they went into the ministry and multiplied themselves over and over again.
Yes.
And that's my heart. That's my heart. That's my desire. That we don't just simply fall into a pattern of church as usual. But we fall into the pattern where each one of us on an individual basis says, Jesus, I want more of you. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want passion in my life. I want to be passionate about you. I want to wake up in the morning excited that you're going to be working in my life again this day. I want to touch my family. I want to reach out to those that I love that don't understand what you've shown me. I want to reach this nation. I want to reach this world. Because I recognize how blessed I am. And so if you just bow your heads for a moment. And let's just pray together for a moment. And then we're going to just enter a time of worship for a minute. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I speak to those in the room that might have, they're on the sidelines. They want to see more. They want to understand more. And Lord, I believe that we're coming into a time where we just need to jump in. We just need to believe what your word says. And even though our training, our education may speak against these things as foolishness, as fairy tales, Lord, we're committed. We're in this not because of salvation alone, but we're in this to make a difference. So that when that day comes when you call us home, that we can look back on a life well lived because of the purpose and meaning that you gave us through Jesus. And so we focus now on just allowing a fresh new fire to burn in us. Holy Spirit, you are that fire, but we have to be willing to be caught on fire. And so as we worship you for the next couple of minutes, Lord, speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Bypass our intellectual understanding of things. Speak to us. Speak to us. Yeah.